B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Fun and great drink specials only at Creekside Cabaret. Open every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Montgomery County's only true gentleman's club. 3225 Advance Lane, right off 309 in Hatfield. Online at creeksidecabaret.com.
Live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast, you're listening to the sports voice of the new Philadelphia, 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station.
Welcome to the Fanatic family.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. A hot day, a hot summer day in Delaware Valley. Welcome to the show. We broadcast from Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And, listen, this is the officially the empty week. Everybody looks at this. It's always the empty week. Every year comes about, it's an empty week. Baseball shuts down. You get a couple things happening in other sports. You got Wimbledon, which we don't talk about, even though Serena Williams is going to another final. So what do we talk about? We focus on things like James Ennis. Oh, my God. Tyrone, let's hang him by his fingernails. James Ennis actually said it should be a walk to the finals. Oh, my God. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. Why would he say something like that? Oh, my God. Here's what I will say about that. I don't care that anybody says stuff like that. It doesn't bother me at all. Now, you're looking at a guy, what clout does James Ennis have to say something like that? He's a deep sub. I get that point. But let's look at this, because initially it comes off as, oh my God, why would he say something like that? So now you examine it even further and you go, okay, there are two things that can happen with this. All right? He put his team on the griddle, so somehow he's gonna, here's the four-letter word, Tyrone, somehow he's gonna jinx his team, right? That's everybody. Oh, jinx him. He'll put a spell on him, which we know is nonsense because a jinx doesn't exist. All right? Here's the second thing that can happen. Oh my God. I'm on his teammate now. He's put us on the griddle. We're actually going to have to be competitive every single game to live up to that. And I go, yeah, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? Oh, putting pressure on a team to establish and to prove to the rest of the world that they're the best team in the East. That's a terrible thing, Tyrone, isn't it?
Coming from him?
No, I'm just saying. In general, when we look at it to the second level, because I see your first level, you hate it.
Yeah.
You hate it. Anthony hated it. Everybody says, why would he have to say that? Well, I go, all right, let's go to a deeper thought, which I usually do go to. And I go, okay, what's the harm of it? Is there such a thing as a jinx? Is the basketball guy going to say, hey, James Ennis, you shouldn't be talking before your time. Boom, I'm going to slay the Sixers. And they're not going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. We all know that they're good enough to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. So he's not really lying. But the other part of it is this. How does it impact his team? Does it put more pressure on his team? Maybe it does. And I go, what's wrong with that? If they have to go out and prove every night that they're the best team in the East, I don't see what's anything wrong with what his comments are. Whether he's the first man on the team, like Jimmy Rollins was in 2007, or eight, or whether he's the last man, he's the 12th man on the roster. It's the same lesson. You're asking your guys to live up to something that they should be anyway. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it is that he can't say it because he's not a good enough player.
Well, you got to see, this is where you got to prove it to me, because you're not going to the second step. You're staying in residence in the first step, which is James Ennis has no right to say that because he's James Ennis. Go a little deeper. Look at what harm it's going to cause that he said it. Give me the harm.
The harm is players look for art this time of year, especially. Players look for artificial things to motivate them all the time. And now he's giving Giannis and the Celtics and any of the teams that might be contenders, mainly the Bucks and the Celtics, they're the only two I see that can even compete, a little bit extra oomph for the offseason.
Who cares? The extra oomph. What are we, in high school? Well, what was this? Remember the Titans? These are professional guys anyway. They need extra oomph. They know how good they are. The good teams will rise. They're going to go, we're playing the Sixers tonight. Well, let's really bring our A game. Like, they're not going to bring their A game anyway. Oh, James Ennis said this. Well, we really have to go outside our bodies now and play extra hard. That's silly. You know that's silly.
Still doesn't sit right with me that a guy like him is talking trash. He's just a guy.
I know it doesn't sit well with you, and it doesn't sit well with anything, with anybody. But let's examine what the harm of it is. It's like a guy on a football team who predicts that they're going to win an NFC championship game. All that does is put his team on alert. Hey, this guy, okay, put us on the chopping block, but we're good enough. Let's do what he suggests we can do. Let's play our best. That's all that James Ennis's quote is saying. If you play your best every night, I'm putting you on alert, even though I'm a deep sub, that this team is good enough to win, and so let's play like that. What's the sense of not being confident about that? Oh my! Wait, would you rather say, "Oh my God, well, it's gonna be tough to beat Milwaukee. I don't know if we can beat." Like, what's the right thing for him to say if he had to say anything?
Him? Yeah. Silence. Complete silence. I'm happy to be back with the Sixers,
silence.
And that's
all
it.
Right. So let me ask you this: if Ben Simmons had said that.
I loved it. If Ben
you
Simmons,
loved it?
I would love it.
You would. So the Ben Simmons that can't shoot a jump shot, that refuses to shoot a jump shot.
That's right.
You would be okay with him saying it.
Yep, because now that's resonating, and now everybody's going to say, Ben Simmons, you saying that? You better come back with a jump shot. I like Ben being, if Ben said it, if Embiid said it,
uh-huh.
I love it. Even the bench guy, if the Sixers' plan goes the way they want, in which Zaire Smith develops, Thibodeau mm-hmm. develops, like if everything happens the way the Sixers want it to happen, and it may not, Ennis won't even play.
I never looked at it like that, on what a guy says and how it affects his teammates in the negative. If it's going to affect you in the negative, then you're not a real competitor anyway. What he said was really a true statement. You should get to the NBA Finals this year with this team. So, okay, if he put it in bronze by making it public, that's just something you're going to have to live up to. I don't, like, take away from players the responsibility of something they have to live up to because some guy made a statement in public. It doesn't make any sense to me. When guys make statements like that, I am all for it because it puts the rest of the team on high alert. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because if you didn't have that, you're giving them license to not play their best.
This is what it means to me, though. It's like me going to another neighborhood when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew the guys who, if something was to happen, the guys who would throw punches and the guys who wouldn't throw punches.
Uh-huh.
I don't want one of the guys who, if something goes down, will run and hide talking trash. If a guy who's a fighter says it, fine. Again, he may not even play.
James Ennis is a fighter?
I'm saying he might not even get a chance to fight.
He will get a chance to fight. You know he'll be one of the first subs off the bench.
Yeah,
he plays hard when he's in
there. He does play hard. He does
play
hard.
He's not a star player, but he's an important member of the depth of this team.
He is. But if in their way, they would rather have, obviously, Zaire play and those guys. If those guys developed, he wouldn't get minutes.
Listen, man, if Norvell Pell said it, then I think you got something. But other than that, I don't understand how we want to absolve players of the responsibility of living up to what their capabilities are. And that's what this statement means. And on the surface, you go, oh, yeah, he should have said that. He doesn't have the clout to say that. But then you go to the next level and you go, well, how's it really supposed to affect the Sixers negatively? Except for the fact, what, other teams are now going to get up more for the Sixers? So what? So meet that challenge. If people are going to get up for you, you're supposed to meet the challenge anyway. Nobody's going to take it easy on you when the Bucks play the Sixers. Are they going to need a James Ennis quote to play their best? When the Celtics play the Sixers, are they going to need a James Ennis blackboard quote to play their best against the Sixers? No. So then what's the harm?
Well, they're not going to need it now because they're all going to work extra hard in the summer.
All right,
thanks to Ennis.
Well, that's good. Because he said that, maybe it causes them to work extra hard. Because he said that, maybe Ben Simmons says, well, I really got to come back with a jump shot this year. I'm asking you what the harm is.
That's funny. Him and Tobias were literally in the gym with an instructor today. Right after Ennis said it, they probably recognized. They're already in the gym.
All right. Because well, of it. Then it's all good. you gotta explain to me why this is bad. Because on the surface, here's the difference between something on the surface and something you really think about and go to the second level. It's hard work to go to the second level sometimes because you want to reside in that comfort spot. Oh, Ennis said this. Well, that's my reaction is this. But then you go, what's the harm? That's all I'm saying. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about a lot of things today. It's a Thursday. We're going to be bouncing around a lot. Maybe talk about relationships and stuff today.
Oh,
yeah.
Relationships.
Yeah, relationships.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know. I just start thinking about them.
Okay.
You know? I'm an observer.
You sure
and
are.
I see a lot of relationships, and I see people that are happy and not happy. And
okay.
And I kind of want to know, like, what's the formula to be happy in a relationship?
Interesting.
And Natalie, you can chime in on this, because you're not currently in a relationship. You're very reticent when it comes to relationships.
Yeah.
You're looking for the right one?
Yeah. Well, this is my focus right now.
This show.
The show, my career. Yeah, my career.
That doesn't mean you can't have a career and have a nice relationship with it. So somebody hasn't come along that fits that shoe yet.
True.
Right. So
yes.
I'm trying to get the shoe fit.
Not for me.
See, I'm outside.
In general.
Okay.
Speaking in general.
I've lived through many relationships. I'm just an outside observer.
Right.
I'm just trying to foster conversation.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know what makes it. I want to ask that. This is like a market survey with people.
I'd be intrigued to hear some of our older callers, if they've been married for a while, what they think the success is.
That's where we're headed.
Because I just saw Jimmy Carter just celebrate, or somebody just celebrate their 63rd wedding anniversary? I think it was Jimmy Carter.
I think it was more than that.
Was it 73?
It was like 73.
Maybe it was 73.
Like, I see a young couple in my neighborhood wheeling a carriage, and that's the bliss part of the relationship. It really is. It's like the first child, we're married, we're starting a family, we're in a nice neighborhood. It's like the ultimate American dream.
Right.
And then I want to take it from that to where it goes, where you actually become more of a manager than a husband or a wife.
Oh, yikes.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I do, but I don't have any experience in that.
No, you don't have experience in that, but our callers will have experience.
Yeah, they sure will.
Yeah, so we'll go deep.
Interesting.
We'll go deep into the gap.
This is great.
Yes. Mike Missinelli Show. Here's how you get in. 610-63.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 2:20. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's time to start our Twitter poll. But first, I got to tell you that the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us, as always, by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention to HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers, if you're looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Right on cue today. Over 170 votes on this one early. Are you okay with what James Ennis said about walking into the finals? 53% say yes, 47% say no, so it's close.
Okay. All right, I just got to let, just try to go to the second level with me here and answer me this question. Because I know you, what your initial reaction is. Your initial reaction is, just like mine, was like, oh, Anna said this? It's like, ugh. And then I go, oh, what's the harm? There's no harm, really. It's not like we're in college and, you know, college coaches are all vim and vigor, use this bulletin board material and jack their team up for a one-game situation. This is like pro basketball. You know, if the Milwaukee Bucks need a James Ennis quote to get up to beat the Sixers, I don't know how good are they anyway? And all Ennis is saying is the obvious. It's a good team, and we should go. Now, listen, walking to the NBA Finals is a little different than you're capable of getting the NBA Finals. But the bravado, people have to live up to bravado. So it doesn't matter who said he's an important member of this team. He's not an unimportant member of this team. So, okay, he put the bravado out there. Now live up to it. That's the way I look at it.
Now,
he's no harm, no foul.
How is this different than Vince Young with the Dream Team? He's a backup talking trash. That season ended up being a disaster.
Well,
how do we know
okay,
he's an
well,
angry
like,
sports
why,
guy?
Why did it become a disaster? Because they didn't play up to their capabilities.
Yeah, Nandy Stunk.
He overvalued the team or whatever.
Ronnie Brown. So
there was a failure there, either by a coaching staff or by the players or whatever. You know, we didn't look at that team. He said it was the Dream Team because they added a bunch of free agents. Were we looking at that team to have a walk to the NFL title game?
At the beginning of the season, there were a lot of people very high on that team.
We know what the Sixers are. We're not going to hide from it. And he's not going to hide from it either. He's saying, you know, walked in fine. Toronto's weaker, blah, 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 and walked in fine. Now, maybe Milwaukee will have something to say about that, but I don't think they need bulletin board material to play harder against the Sixers. It's a long season. But by the time they get to the playoffs where it really matters, where they have to beat the Sixers, you think they're going to worry about what James Ennis said in July?
No, it would literally be 10 months from now. Because if you play the Bucks, it'd probably be the conference finals.
Again, the question is, where will it affect the Sixers in the negative? That's the question I need answered. That's a second-level question, Tyron. And I don't think you're prepared to answer it.
Not yet, but I will be by 6 o'clock.
By 6, you'll be able to?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Kurt in Philly. Kurt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kurt.
Hey, Mike, what's going on,
man? What's going on,
hey,
Kurt?
Man, I'm sitting here laughing, man, at the notion, like, you know, all of these fans and even Tyrone, man, is sitting here making it seem like Ennis's comments are going to, you know, how is it going to affect anything? How is it going to make it?
Well, that's my question. What is if it scares them and they're like trembling? Oh my God, he put us on it. Then what are they worth anyway? We're looking at them as a team that's supposed to get there anyway.
I mean, this isn't high school or rec league. Like, this is the NBA, man.
Right. You think that Joel Embiid's going, hey, did you see what Ennis said? Now I'm scared to death. You know?
These guys are getting up every game, man. You know, the greats, you know, they're going to get up for every game, no matter if the Sixers or the Timberwolves, man. Don't make a difference, man.
We want guys like this.
We should want guys like this, man, that are going to, you know, poke their chest out and have the nuts to even say that. You know what I mean?
I got you totally. You know what Embiid's reaction to this is? No problem, James.
Yep. Let's go.
That's what he said. No problem.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Thanks for having
All right,
my
Kurt,
call, though,
you
Mike.
You got it, buddy. And just imagine. You got a team. Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that. Now I'm nervous. Is that what you want?
No.
Well, that's the only ramification that could possibly come with it. Like, if I'm on the Sixers and I'm a good player in the Sixers, I go, well, you know, he's kind of put it out there. We got to live up to it. Now, to me, that's only a motivation to live up to it. It's actually a good thing.
Okay. James Ennis. All right.
Hey, you keep focusing on the James Ennis part of it.
Because that's the problem.
No, it's not the problem.
It's the whole problem.
Who cares? It's not like he's Norvell Pell. He is a veteran substitution guy who has played in this league for a long time. He's got a little bit of clout. He don't have starting five clout, but he's got a little bit of clout. He played hard in the playoffs.
I like that Jimmy Rollins said team to beat. I would have been mad if Burrow said it.
Jimmy Rollins said there were a lot of people who were upset at that, too, until you get to the second level. And the second level then, we got used to the second level, was he's just making his teammates responsible for playing up to their abilities.
And himself, and he came out and had a great year.
Exactly.
Had a great year.
Yeah, so that puts some onus on Ennis to never screw up when he comes into a game.
He's got
to
play.
That's on him. It's not on me as a fan. On me as a fan is the rest of the team realize their potential. And that's what Ennis, he's opening that door. Here's your potential. Let's go through it. All right, let's go Dennis and Langhorne. Dennis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dennis.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Dennis?
Hey, I love it. I think it's great that it shows confidence. It shows a positive attitude. And I don't care if it's Embiid or the 13th guy off the bench.
Well, the 13th guy would be bad. But, but Norvell Pell in a sport coat saying something like that would not be good.
I'm exaggerating.
But Ennis is the eighth guy?
Yeah, Ennis is a solid vet. He works hard. He's an important part of the team. He's a leader, you know. I don't expect a rookie to say it. So I'm fine with it. The only problem I have is exactly what he said. I don't like saying we're going to walk to the finals. That's a little arrogant.
Well, of course it's arrogant. The statement itself is arrogant. Now, I ask you, we can agree that it's arrogant. Where's the bad part that comes with the arrogance?
Well, I think the bad part is you look better if you're very confident in yourself.
Forget how it looks. You know, some guys wear better suits than others. Forget the look. Look at how it's going to affect the team in the negative. Tell me how.
Because a little bit to what Ty's saying, if you're going to give a little bit to the other people, if you're going to be, the arrogance will give them some motivation.
It will? In the professional ranks?
I think so.
These guys get paid to play basketball to win games anyway. They need James Ennis to motivate them in the half-court circle when they tip it off?
No, but the thing is, when you say we're going to walk, that's almost as much of an insult against the other teams as it is in confidence.
Who cares? Who cares if they insult the other team?
Yeah,
well, I care about that.
In the wash, it doesn't really matter, but I would rather you come off as being extremely confident.
See, that's a conservative view. It's like you're afraid of something. And I sit here and go, there's no fear for what he said. So all right, let's just say, all right, Milwaukee Bucks and Sixers line up first game of the year. And Giannis goes up to, well, this won't be on the floor. But he goes up to somebody and says, you know what your man said? We're going to kick your bleep bleep ass. Go ahead, man. Try. Guess what? We're ready. In fact, this extra thing that you're adding may make you misplay. It may make you make mistakes because you so want to beat us because of what our guy said that you're going to make mistakes. So knock yourself out.
I mean, that's possible.
Well, I care. Bulletin board material is the most overrated thing unless you get to a college situation or a high school situation where minds are more influenced. Professional guys aren't influenced by that crap. They're not. They're getting paid. A check comes. They're supposed to win, right? They're waiting through a regular season until they get to the playoffs. By the playoffs, James Ennis' statement will be like smoke evaporated in thin air.
Well, I'm glad he said it in July and not October.
All right. Stephen Holland. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Steve?
I'm just so tired of our
of art of the Sixers front office getting schooled by Danny Ainge. I'm sitting here watching Summer League, watching Carson Edwards, so fearless, just shooting all around the court. We got this thigh ball guy that won't even play. We could have just sat there at 34.
Well, he might play. He's actually playing pretty well in the summer league. I agree with you, Carson Edwards. I pegged him a long time ago as a guy off the bench who could really give you some points and energy.
They're already trying to lock him up right now. They're trying to lock him up right now.
Yeah, he's going to be a good off the bench player. Now, you haven't seen him get used defensively, all right? This summer league, he's not going to get used defensively. When he gets in the NBA, he's going to have to guard, and it's going to be tough for him to guard. So we'll see how effective he really is.
Yeah, but great offense always beats good defense, you know? And I just see him flying around the court.
That's why they have the plus-minus. I mean, he may come and make a couple threes and give up 12 points to his man.
I got one more question for you. Mm-hmm. Are they going to lock up Korver or Jamal Crawford or any of these guys?
I don't think they have any interest in Jamal Crawford. Korver is not free yet.
No.
All right. He isn't cleared for the Sixers to go out and get him. But a couple teams are also interested in Korver. If I was Korver, I'd go to L.A.
Yeah, I know. Who wants to play here? Everyone yells it. Like Ben Simmons, you know. I mean.
Well, and listen, Korver, it would make sense playing here. He'd get enough playing time. He'd get able to shine. But he's like in his last year. So, like, to experience L.A. playing with LeBron one more time, I would think. You know, if I were Kyle Korver, that would appeal to me more than coming to Philly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Philly. I'm just saying, like, it's going to be hard for us to get these big name guys. You know, we're lucky we've got Simmons and Embiid, and we need to surround them with talent.
They're okay. I mean, look at them. They're a team that can get to the NBA Finals. Who cares if they didn't get KD?
Yeah,
they're a squad. You appreciate mm-hmm. them for a squad. Forget about the big name that they didn't get.
Mm-hmm. All right,
Steve. Don't worry. People worry too much. This is a good squad. They did a really good job putting together a 1-12 team. Veteran guys can actually help off the bench. A really good starting five. The only concern that we all should have, well, two concerns. One is whether Tobias Harris is a guy that you can trust to deliver the shot when you need it. And number two, will Ben expand his game and actually get defenses used to him taking a 10 to 15 footer and spreading out their defense? That's the only questions that we have to answer. They're going to be really good defensively. They're going to be semi-deep. They got a couple young kids that are developing who can give them some energy off the bench. Nothing wrong with the way they put this team together. Let's go to Cash in Mount Airy. Cash, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Cash.
Mike, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Cash?
Listen, another concern I have is Brett Brown. Can he coach? No, man, I don't trust Brett Brown. You know, that's my only concern. I think this team is good enough to win in playoffs.
That's a worry for the sake of just having a worry. There's nothing you can do about the Brett Brown thing. So, like, why would you even care?
Yeah, well,
he put together a team that he's really comfortable coaching, and the team happened to be without Jimmy Butler that he was really comfortable coaching.
All right, well, he better get out of the second round this year. I know that much.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, but listen, right?
Is it really possible that they wouldn't get past the second round with this team?
Well, no, it ain't, unless he can't coach.
The way it's fragmented now in the East. Even if he can't coach, there's no way they can't get past the second round.
Yeah, well, they built a playoff team now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
They built a half-court playoff team, and that's why I like our chances to get to the finals and make some noise. Okay. And what do you think about Ben Simmons working out with Dwayne Wade? I've heard he was working out with Dwayne Wade.
Anything he does in the summer has no effect on me.
So even working out with a perennial Hall of Famer, you don't think that's a big thing that he's doing.
He can work out with Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain from the grave. It wouldn't matter to me one bit. When I see him in an NBA game doing something for real, that's what matters to me.
Well, Mike, listen, though. He get that mid-range shot from Dwayne Wade.
So if he's working out with Dwayne Wade, he's working out on a floor where he's just taking the shot.
Yeah,
How does that translate to the NBA when there's defenses trying to stop them?
because Dwayne is showing different techniques that he used to use. You know, that mid-range shot that Dwayne had, that fadeaway.
You think he's watched Dwayne Wade play all these years?
Yeah.
Did he get anything from that? Like, why does Dwayne Wade have to appear? Like, I can sit there and watch Dwayne Wade go, I want to emulate Dwayne Wade, right? I can sit and watch my own teammate, J.J. Redick, and go, gee, I'd like to shoot the ball like him. He's on my freaking team. I watch him every day.
Yeah, but Mike, I'm talking about actually working out with the guy. You know what I mean? Like for instance, Kobe Bryant was working out with Kawhi Leonard.
He guarded Dwayne Wade in the league. What's the difference? He was on the same floor with him.
Yeah, but the difference is when you're working out with a guy, he shows you different techniques, different moves that he used to use in different situations. It's much different, man.
No, it's not any different at all because the guy's not willing to take a shot. Before you can utilize moves to get off a shot, you have to be willing to take the shot in the first place. So whether he can work with Dwayne Wade, he can work with what was that center from Florida? Shinsis. The way you can find 100 Dwaynes, doesn't really matter to me. In the game, if you can apply a simple movement of shooting the basketball, and after that, then you go, oh, gee, I learned from Dwayne to get that shot off that I just took. The next time down the floor, I'm going to do this or that. But first, you have to get to the point where the elbow and the arms have to go towards the basket. And Dwayne Wade can't pull strings to make you do that. Right?
Right. Now, I will say...
Don't get me started on Ben. You get my blood boiling.
You get upset about
this. I get upset. He's working out with this. Things are going to change. Oh, he's doing this. Things are going to change. Your sister's going to change. Until I see it on an NBA floor, don't bother me about it.
But, no. Last season, all we saw was photos of him running around with a Kardashian. This year...
We saw him working out, shooting basketballs.
A little bit. Not as much as this year. Not as much as this year.
I go to practice, I see him shooting basketball.
Yeah, he shoots.
What does it matter?
He's got to shoot in the game, but I'm encouraged.
He
didn't
take a shot during an entire NBA season. I was supposed to say, oh, Dwayne Wade showed up. Oh, my God. All of a sudden, he's going to turn into Allen Houston.
I think he's playing. I think he's playing against higher-level guys. I do think he's taking this offseason more serious. That's value.
This is again from the Tyrone wishing globe.
That's not a wishing globe. That's a wishing globe. That's a fact.
What fact do you have?
He's working with. He hired a person this year versus last year. He didn't.
He's playing on an open court with one guy. He's not playing 5-on-5 where he's intentionally taking jump shots on offensive possessions.
Too early for that. That's still going to come later in the summer. Embiid isn't either. He did it later in the summer, and we saw it. He put it online. I bet you we see that live ball later in the summer. Right now, it's the instruction phase.
I refuse to be fooled. I refuse to go down to Tyrone wishing well.
There is no wishing well.
There's a wishing well. You always go for the wish.
I'm not going for a wish.
Oh, my God. He's going to be better this year because he
hired someone versus just going out there winging it himself. How are you going to get better in the offseason? How do you get better in the offseason? You have to work with people. That's how you get better. You have no choice. This is a way to get better. How does any other player get better? They have to work in the offseason.
Here's how players get better. They scrimmage hard.
Yeah.
And during the course of the scrimmage, they test out stuff.
Right, but they test out stuff they worked on with the coaches on the side.
But I don't want to
They do all that. And B does both. You do both.
A-B instruction does not translate to playing against people. It just doesn't.
You got
to
do both. And all these great players do both. All the great players, they do both. So he's doing the one. Let's see if he does the other. But he didn't even do either last year. He didn't either last year.
How come you're so whimsical?
I'm not whimsical.
I can't be like
that. He literally hired a guy.
My man is so whimsical.
Not whimsical. He hired a guy.
He's passionate about things that he believes.
He needs the blink of an eye to believe in something.
I don't know.
Hold on. And I'm just this hardcore cynic on, whatever he does in the offseason, it's irrelevant to me.
Well,
when you show up in an NBA game and you do it, then I'm on board.
And this is where Ty's optimism comes in. The little optimism that he has about things in life, here it is.
Yeah, I'm not that optimistic.
No.
I just say, last season, he was running around with a Kardashian and had his brother. This season, no Kardashian, and he has an actual basketball coach. That tells me, taking it more seriously, he might be better.
It's deeper
That's
than
all.
That with you.
No, it's not deeper. It's that deeper. Simple.
Forget Ben Simmons. It's deeper than that with you. Like, you could take a guy like Nick Williams and go, if he gets a lot of at-bats, he's going to be this. And I go, where do you get that? Like, where does it come from in your personality?
I don't know.
You know, I've been doubted a lot.
Because you believe in everybody.
No, I don't believe
in
anybody.
You believe in stiffs.
Not everybody I don't believe in. I can tell you some guys I don't believe in. I don't believe in a lot
he
of
believes
guys.
In
I believe in nobody.
Nobody.
I just have a select guys that are in my crew.
Where does it come from, man? What is it?
Your dad
would seem like he was a hardcore guy.
Was your mom
wishful?
No. Absolutely not.
Where do you get this whimsical thing?
I don't know.
Things are going to turn beautifully. Like the cocoon is the butterfly is going to sprout out.
You got to have some hope, Mike.
I have realistic hope.
Nah, I never thought Giannis was going to be as good as he was. Nobody did. Sometimes guys surprise you. I think Ben might surprise people. And all I'm saying is, and might shoot a basketball. I didn't even say he was going to make it.
Yeah, but here's
We're
going to get to a break. Here's where you and I differ. You can take stimulus like, oh my God, he hired a shooting coach, and translate that into NBA 15-foot jump shots. He hired a shooting coach, and I go, that means zero to me. Now, how can we be so polar opposite when it comes to that?
I don't know.
All right, 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. Couple open lines. This is a good time to get in. Relationship discussion begins at 3:00. I gotta, like, you know, get down and dirty with some people.
Oh boy.
All right. Mike Mussinelli Show returns after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
ESPYs were on. I missed them. I completely forgot the ESPYs were on. Did you watch the ESPYs, Tyrone, Natalie?
No, I watched. You know what I watched.
What'd you watch? Oh, you watched Big Little Lies?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're binging.
I'm binging.
Big Little Lies.
Yeah, because you told me about it.
Yes.
So now I can't stop. So I wanted to watch the ESPYs, but I needed to know what happened.
I completely forgot that the ESPYs were on.
Yeah. I watched some of them.
Alex Morgan.
I watched the highlights.
Had a nice speech. Tracy Morgan apparently didn't do so well.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at online is that Tracy Morgan wasn't very funny.
Yeah, we'll have some of that soon.
So we're gonna replay his opening monologue a little bit to see if he was funny or not. Now, you like Tracy Morgan. You think he's funny. I don't really think he's that funny.
He's capable of being funny. I said he's net funny.
Well, has he been the same since his accident?
Not quite the same, no. Since the accident.
Yeah.
Changed a little.
I mean, he was really, really hurt, too. Head injuries
and
everything.
The other thing I was reading about was the strangeness of Odell Beckham Jr.'s outfit.
He had a vest. Doesn't
he had,
make
like,
sense.
A pouch. A kangaroo pouch.
Yeah, over top. Yeah, it was a vest with a
pouch. But he got rid of the golden locks. He had new do.
Yeah, he's getting sharp, you know, for the new season. Mm-hmm. And also, Malcolm Jenkins had a suit that he made with a blue, one of the sleeves on the suit was blue. The other
I saw that. It looked good, actually.
Yeah, that's, he designed
that?
It.
Yeah,
he
has a suit line.
He has a suit line.
Yeah, it's on,
he didn't sew it, though, did he?
No, but he designed his suits.
I'm thinking
like some pioneer woman or something that's stitching together a skirt.
It was his design.
Yeah,
he should hook a brother up.
His line is Damari Seville. It's on Walnut Street.
Yeah, he should.
He has his own store and everything.
I got a photo shoot.
I saw the jacket. I liked it.
I got a photo shoot coming up. He should hook me up.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Tyrone, yesterday, I don't know if you had one today. I can tell the people. I spot them right away. You know, not many people knew what they were.
Yeah, not a lot of people didn't.
Because I asked somebody else. I said, you see what he's got on? In fact, I asked Hembo. Hembo had no idea what you were wearing. You had old school Stan Smith Adidas tennis shoes on.
Yeah.
That when they first came out, they were the shoe.
I had heard, I saw online, and I was happened to be up near Great Adventure. And down the street from Great Adventure, there's outlets. Jackson, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And right down there in the Adidas outlet, they had them up high.
Listen, for my money, if you go back, there are two classic shoes that were developed at the time when shoes started to be developed. The Stan Smith tennis shoe is one of them. Simplistic white with a little green. And the Adidas Superstar with the shell.
Yeah, the shell
are the two
Adidas,
most iconic sneakers that were ever made. Nah. And then you had the Jordans come later and all that stuff. But I'm talking about, in the day, they were the most iconic shoes.
You're probably right. The shell, and my wife bought a pair of those that same day of the shell toe Adidas. They didn't have mine, the one I was looking for, so I ended up with those. I was quite pleased, and I'm glad you noticed them because a lot of people didn't know what they were.
Stan Smiths.
Yeah,
because when I first started playing tennis, I bought a pair of Stan Smiths.
What are Freddie Mercury's Adidas?
I have no idea what you're talking.
Oh, you didn't notice them in the movie? He wore Adidas. Freddie Mercury.
Do you wear a shell top?
No, I think they had the rubber front. I'll find it.
Yeah, that's a shell top.
No.
The rubber front.
No. Wow. They were like the brown rubber.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what he was wearing.
Oh, I thought maybe you'd know.
No, the movie, I was reading the newspaper as the movie was on. It was so boring me. Terry and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Terry.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Terry?
First off, the original AIs, those are the best shoe.
It's a good shoe, but I'm talking about like before the AI shoe. Like when they first started developing leather shoes, right? That was like back in the day. The Stan Smith was a leather and the Adidas Superstar was a leather.
Like a penny loafer?
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, man, the Stan Smith was a good shoe. Tyrone found it. How much you pay for that shoe, Tyrone?
They were only $60.
$60?
Yeah.
Good bargain.
Hey, Mike, I like you. I like you a lot. I usually agree with a lot of what you say.
Mm-hmm.
The next level thinking on this James Ennis stuff is it doesn't compute. Like, if you're Ben Simmons, right, and you will, the problem is we can't back it up. We haven't been to an Eastern Conference final, let alone an NBA final, in 20 years. We just lost our best playoff performer in Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And what...
So what? What do you think about the Sixers? That they're a bad team?
You just went off a couple minutes ago about how Ben Simmons is going to...
With the flaw of Ben Simmons, they're still the best team in the East. With the flaw.
Well, we didn't play the Bucks.
The Sixers didn't have any problem with the Bucks last year, and the Bucks are a little weaker this year.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm asking you this question. What is the harm? What does it do bad for the Sixers that he made that statement?
It just makes them, it makes Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have to do something that they don't know exactly what to do.
It makes them have to be winners? Oh, I'm sorry. Gee, I didn't think they had that responsibility. Well, it makes them have to be winners, Terry.
You're asking what the problem is. The problem is that we can't back it up.
What do you mean we can't back it up? Why? Why can't... Well, you're making the statement they can't back it up. I look at the team and I go, they're an Eastern Conference champion. Like, what do you see that you don't see that?
Why do you think that they're an Eastern Conference champion?
Because they have the best team from 1 to 12. They have the best defensive team in the league.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? They stink defensively.
No, I mean, they don't stink defensively, but, like, I don't understand. Like, the squad...
Here's the problem. Here's our conversation problem. You don't believe in the Sixers. I do.
I don't believe in Ben Simmons. And you just... You don't believe in Ben Simmons either.
I don't believe he's going to have a jump shot. That doesn't mean the Sixers aren't going to go to the NBA Finals. It doesn't connect with me. He can still go to the NBA Finals with him not taking shots. That's what I believe. It would be nicer, it would be easier for the Sixers to get to the NBA Finals if he could take a shot. But you didn't answer my question about, like, how does... In fact, you kind of alluded to it. Well, that makes Ben Simmons and Embiid have more responsibility. Yeah! And they're supposed to be able to handle that responsibility. Like, am I supposed to think they're not capable of handling that kind of responsibility?
No, they shouldn't. He kept saying they'd never been to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Raptors had never been.
Yeah,
they made some additions.
They got there before. They get there.
Right.
And it's a matter of you building your team to be good enough to get there. That's what it really comes down to. So, again, the threat, like the Ennis threat, is like, oh, my God. You're making it seem like they're supposed to be scared by his comment instead of saying, yeah, we'll accept that challenge. That's the kind of team I want. I don't want a team that's going to be scared. Oh my God, I might have to do more because James Ennis said that. You want a team that thinks that? All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.